My parents were very good about getting us as a family to both. And they had an old pop-up camper, and we used it a lot. One of the things that we did, we finally found a campground up in Cherokee, North Carolina, where we would leave that camper many times for the whole summer. And we had a camping spot right on the river that ran through the campground. And I loved to go up there and spend a week or a long weekend. And it was going to be a week in the summer that my dad was taking off, and he was going to be with us the whole week. And they found it very wise, me by myself compared to my four sisters, if I would bring a friend along. Life would be easier, they found out. And so I invited from church a guy by the name of Alan. Now, Alan had we'd grown up in Sunday school. We knew each other. And he knew my dad in the sense that he had met my father and he had talked to my dad. But I didn't realize, I invited Alan to come for the week, and he had some apprehensions about my father. And I thought, that's odd. But I didn't know at the time and realized that he had had problems with his father. And he just kind of projected that it might be the same with mine. And my father was so not his dad. And so Alan just kind of prodded me before we went up, and he came for the week of spending that time in the mountains with us. What's your dad like? I go, what do you mean, what's he like? And I said, my dad's great. My father was so affable and so approachable and so loving, maybe sometimes to a fault. And I thought Alan knew that, but he only knew of Dad. He didn't know Dad. So Alan decided to go with us to the mountains. Now, you got to realize that Alan had been a suburb boy. He'd been brought up in the suburbs, and he really never experienced the mountains and the ocean and the country like we had. And so first thing we did when we got up in the mountains was pull our old camper out of storage and put it down by the place that we usually did, right on the river's edge. And he was just kind of in awe of the river flowing by our campground. And then my father and I and Alan, we set up a pup tent. That was going to be our dorm for the week. Alan and I were sleeping in our own tent. Now, Alan had slept in the backyard, but he had never slept in the woods. And he was kind of wide-eyed about bears and snakes and those kind of things. But my dad kept assuring him, don't worry, we'll have this thing tight. Snakes won't get in. And bears, you know, usually they're looking for food. And they did come through the campground occasionally looking for food. But that setting up that tent and sleeping in it was a big experience for Alan, and my dad helping us do it. We couldn't have done it, not like he did it. And then as soon as we got everything set up, my dad did what we usually do, is we pumped up some actual tire tubes, and Dad would take us about a half mile up the stream, and he would let us get in those inner tubes, and we'd float all the way back down to the campground and get out. And we'd do that a number of times. We'd just camp, and you'd just kind of drift through it, that lazy river float. Alan had never done that before. It was such a huge experience for him. And then Dad took us in the afternoon. Late, he took us up to one of our favorite places. It was called Sliding Rock. It's big rocks in the river that the streams have gone through and developed a moss, and so we called it Slippery Rock. And you could actually slide down these rocks. And Dad gave us the usual instructions. Now, don't go climbing up here, and I'm going to be sitting right here, and if you get hurt, don't worry. Alan had never experienced anything like this before. And Dad was watching, and we all came through with maybe a few bumps and scrapes, but that was just part of Slippery Rock experience. And then we went back home that night, and Alan, like a lot of guys, had never fished. And we did more than just fish. Dad worked with us, and we put what is called a trout line. It was legal back then. It's illegal now. And it's a heavy cord with a lot of little hooks running off their own. And we used to take corn. Mom would bring canned corn, and we would hook. Just fill that little hook up with canned corn, and then we threw a heavy rock out into the stream, and we left it there all night. And Alan said, What's going to happen? I said, wait till morning. And when the morning came, we pulled that cord in, and we had better than a half a dozen trout on that. And to clean the fish and to fry them up, rolled up in cornmeal, and some of you have had this experience, you know what I'm talking about. Cornmeal, and of course, a whole stick of butter over the campfire. Alan thought he died and went to heaven. Can I tell you this? After that experience of being with my daddy, Alan looked at my father in a completely different way. You see, he knew Dad. He had met Dad, but he really didn't know Dad. And afterwards, he'd run up to my dad in church, and my dad would put his arm around Alan, and they were such good friends, and they talked about things. And just a whole different experience that Alan had with my father. Because one, he knew about Dad, but he didn't know Dad. Can I ask you a question this morning? What comes into your mind when you think about God? What just popped in your mind when you think about God? You see, God is my heavenly Father. He's supposed to be your Father. That's by His own declaration. Jesus taught us to pray what? Our Father, which is in heaven. What comes into your mind when you think about your heavenly Father? Do you know about God? Or do you know God? Have you learned some facts about God from the Scriptures? Or are you in a relationship with the God who loves you? You've been singing about that all morning. Can I be so bold as to make this statement? And that's, what you think about God is the most important thing about you and I. Let that sink in. What we think about God, what you think about God is the most important thing in your life. Can I tell you, it's the most important thing in this church is what we think about God. It will determine everything, how we think, what we do, what we say by our reflection and our beliefs and how we live. He will impact everything. Yours and my relationship is determined by what we think about God. You see, if I think like God thinks, He thinks you are the most precious thing there is. If I think like He thinks. And I will value you like He wanted me to, and the two great commandments is to do what? Love God and love others. What does that love look like? Well, if I think about God and I do it like God says, if I have a problem with you, Matthew 18, I will go to you. I won't talk about you. I'll talk to you. You see, the way we live our relationship, if we think about God, it impacts that. It impacts the way that we go to work, how you work. If you really think like God thinks, He says, whatever you do, do it with all your might. He wants you to go to work this week and work for Him. He's your boss, not the one who, that's God impacting our thoughts and our lives. If I really believe in God, then I consider every word that comes out of my mouth. Let no unwholesome talk come out of my mouth, but only what is helpful for building you, others, up according to the need, if it's needed at all at the moment. So what I think about God is the most important thing. It impacts every aspect of my life. It impacts my entertainment. I don't attend certain things because they're not pleasing to God. They're not building me up. They're tearing me down. What is it that you let entertain you? Is it things that build you up? Or is it ungodly stuff that tears you down? Can I tell you, your choice of music will be impacted by what you believe and think about God. It's the most important thing about us, is our belief and what we actually live about God. Back at the beginning of this year, I really, in my devotional time, was seeking to do something different. And I began to focus on who God was, His attributes, His character, His personality. And it was overwhelming at first. And then I began to pick on just one of them. And it has been such a joy. And this is my quiet time. This is my devotional time. Just to reflect on God, it has made a difference in my life. My daughter, who her and her husband minister in Jacksonville, Florida, said, "Dad, my devotional life's kind of dry. What should I do?" And I said, "Abby, I don't know what God wants you to do, but I can tell you what I've been doing." And she said, "I'll try that." So she began to take the attributes of God, and we have been sharing, and she has said it has made such a profound difference just reflecting on who God my Father is, one quality at a time, and then thinking how that applies to me. Well, I'm telling you all that because that is part of the backdrop that is leading us into the study that we're getting ready to do. And I hope you'll come back, bring friends with you that need to know about your dad. You see, a lot of people know about God. They say that 90-some percent of the people in America believe God, but do they know God? Who is He to them? Is He some heavenly Santa Claus when they get in trouble? Is He some genie that just will bail them out? Or do they know the character of their Heavenly Father? So I have dubbed this the God who wants you to know Him. He is so desirous for you to know Him. And I want us to take one quality about God. And we're going to start with the omnis. Omni means all. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is all present. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? We're going to take each one of those one at a time and many others, and we're just going to look at how they apply to our lives. You see, we have a God who wants you to know Him, and when you know Him, it will revolutionize your life. It'll change your life. It'll turn it upside down. God has made it clear that He wants us to know Him, to the point that at some places He is shouting to us, but we're not listening. Let me just give you, according to scriptures, what some of those are. We need to listen to God in His creation. When's the last time that you went out at night and just set a lawn chair and looked at the skies? They're amazing. I want to challenge you to do that. And especially as we're coming into the fall season, Janet and I will take chairs out and blankets, and we'll just sit and look at the sky in our backyard. Being on 5 acres, it's pretty clear up north of here, and you get to see a lot. And we've gotten scopes so our kids can see in the past, and now our grandkids. I want to read you what the scriptures say in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the world, and their words to the ends of the world. It rises at the end of heaven and makes its circuit to the other. I said, God is amazing. The glory of God is declared in who He is. His glory, when you go out and look at the night sky, when was the last time you took a trip to Pine Island and just watched the sunset? Or Bayport. My wife and I like to do a Chinese sunset. We stop at the Chinese restaurant. It's right here on 50 and 19. We stop at the Chinese restaurant. We usually take a bottle of water. We get a meal. One meal will take care of both of us. And we go out and we sit at the park benches at Bayport and we just watch God do His glorious thing. Can I encourage you to have maybe a Burger King sunset? I don't care. But the glory of God is revealed. And the canopy of sun that comes up every day, it just blows me away. Do you realize that in 1 second during the day of the sun's energy, it produces more energy in 1 second than all mankind has produced energy since we began. 1 second. The glory of the sun. If we were just a little closer to the sun, the earth would burn up. If we were a little farther away, we'd freeze. Do you realize that nature screams God in His glory and His majesty? But do we take time to know Him? He wants us to know Him if we'll listen to Him in His creation. Not only that, we need to listen to Him in His word. We don't stress Bible study because Bible study is important. We stress it because this is God making Himself known to you and I. You want to have a conversation with God? He wants to have one with you, and He wants you to know Him. He makes it clear, man does not live by bread alone, but what? Can I tell you, some of you have been starving all week long because you haven't been in the bread. You haven't chewed on what's really lasting. You see, these words are going to last forever. How long is forever? St. Augustine said he went to the beach and he saw a little boy taking a big shell, and dug a hole in the surf. And then he went to the water's edge and he filled it full of seawater and he came back and put it in the hole. And he was watching him do this a number of times. And he finally asked the boy, he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm going to empty the sea into my hole." Can I tell you, that's not even the beginning of forever. And God's word will last forever, and you will last forever, and you need to know God through His word. We need to listen to what He says. And when He says in Hebrews chapter 4 that this is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it'll pierce down to the core of our being, I think that's sometimes why we don't want to get in the Word. Because then the word will get into us, but that's exactly what it's supposed to do. It's us getting to know God, listening to him through creation, listening to him through his word, listening to him through his spirit. Another place I got to hang out last year was in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John, which is the biggest chapters on the Holy Spirit. And you want to know about who God is and who his Spirit is and what an amazing gift it is to have God's Holy Spirit in us. Go read those chapters. And what you'll find is it convicts us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. He guides us. What a gift the Holy Spirit is. He produces fruit in us. Fruit like love. When you can start seeing one another changed by love, and there's so many of you here who have been changed by God's love. All of us in Christ have been. It's just, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we sang about, ain't going to let nothing steal my joy. That thing's just kind of, I gotta get the words down because I make them up when I don't know them. But I sing Sunday morning songs all week long. But I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. The joy of the Lord ought to be our strength. Do you know what the joy of the Lord is? That quality that can keep us strong. Holy Spirit is the one who makes that happen. He's the source from which I don't let things bother me because God's in control. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. The awesome power of God. If he is who he says he is, why am I so worried? He's in control. He's got this down. The Holy Spirit brings that joy. And we need to listen to his son. His son is the one who God is speaking to. In Hebrews, the first chapter, the writer begins this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. And many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, who he appointed heir of all things. What's he talking about? He's talking about this. If you want to know God, listen to his son. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Jesus is, and Hebrew writer goes on, he is the exact reflection of his son. See, Jesus reflects the Father, and Jesus reflects in our life so that we ought to reflect Jesus. My wife is up north this weekend. Her parents are celebrating today their 70th wedding anniversary. And she did something. She caught up with some of her old high school friends. About seven of them had breakfast this week. I guess they had a class reunion. And Jan's biggest concern was that she would reflect Jesus. She felt like she wasn't as a witness, as a Christian, that she should have been in high school. That's because she hung out with me. Seriously. I took her down. And so she was hoping that she'd get a chance to reflect Christ to these gals that she didn't know where they were at now. And so she shared a lot of where they're at spiritually, and she's able to talk and share about her personal relationship with God in Christ. Jesus is the one who, if we'll listen to and if we'll be like, we'll get to know God. We know God through his son. He sent Jesus so we could have a fleshly example. Get that. God who created everything, who holds us together. Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. You're breathing right now. Your heart's beating right now because of God. And we get to know him. Do you know about him? Or do you really know him? You see, when you know his son, in a personal relationship way, when you're imitating his son, when his son is the image of who you want to be like, you realize we get to know God. And then lastly, and I want to ask Midge and the praise team and the prayer team to start making their way up here, is we know about God when we listen to his saints. Can I tell you how much you impact my life? Patrick and I were at the hospital and the other day, and we're trying to encourage the lady who has had open heart surgery, and we're thinking she's on her way through, and it was very tenuous. The doctors weren't sure she could make it through, but she did. We thought it's all downhill, and she goes, no, it's not downhill. They also told me that I had cancer that's spread. And so that's the next step. And you know, as I sat and listened to this lady and she shared her faith, with all that's happened, she is living above what's happening, not underneath it. Can I tell you the stories of you living your faith out make me understand God better? And the impact that you can have on other people this week about the God who you know and you trust. I don't know what's going on in your life, and you may be going through one of the worst times. You may be facing a divorce situation, a loss situation. I don't know. But can I tell you, you can live above it, not underneath it, if you know God. It's your choice. Not know about him, but you know him. And I thought it only fitting this morning that we would close the service with the impact of words that one of the saints hundreds of years ago wrote. In fact, his name is John Newton, and he wrote a lot of English hymns as we know them. But I don't know how many of you know about John Newton's life. His mother was born in the 17th century. His mother was a devout believer in Christ, but died very early in his life. When John Newton got of age, his father was a sea captain, and he wanted to do the same thing. So he joined the Royal British Navy, but he got discharged because he got caught in unruly behavior. And there was this cloud in England about his behavior, so much so that he went to Africa and he hooked up with a slave trader. And he began to work for him and soon became a captain of a ship transporting slaves back and forth. And they said he treated them in a disgusting manner. They were just cargo to him, not people. One time when he was at sea and it was a terrible storm and they were sure the ship was going to sink, he cried out to God for help, and it began a search for him to find the faith that his mother had taught him early on. And over a period of time, John Newton became a believer in Christ. It's interesting that he still continued to captain the sea ship, but pretty soon slavery became abhorrent to him, and he couldn't do it anymore. And he left Africa, and he came back to England, and he became a minister of the gospel. And when he would preach, he was known as the old converted sea captain. But something else that he did, he began campaigning against what he was doing before, and he was a big part of the turnaround in England that finally got rid of slavery. Now, that's just a snippet about his life. But what's interesting is the words that he wrote, even in America today, is one of the most beloved and known hymns. And I want us to sing it as we close. Let me pray for us first, and then prayer team, come on up here. Father, Just the fact that I can call you Father, Daddy, is it's amazing. You're the one that made all this. You're the one that holds this and my body together. Scientists have declared and know that the atom should be flying apart, but something is holding us together, and I know who it is. It's you. Father, I can't believe anybody could believe the Big Bang Theory. It takes more faith to believe that than it does in you, the Creator. And when we see the design, the intricacies of our bodies, of the creation around us, there has to be an amazing Creator. We didn't ooze into existence. We just want to give you praise this morning as we leave. Most of all, and we've sung it already today, about your grace, about your mercy, about your love. Father, you are not just loving, you are love. And the very love that we have for one another as husband, as wife, as father to child, as mother to daughter, we have that love because of you. It comes from you. So Father, we want to just close today, time together with brothers and sisters, by thanking you for the grace that brings us here, for the grace that gave up your Son to pay the price for my sin on the cross, the grace that allows me to stay in relationship with you when I don't deserve it day after day, but you do anyway. You come seeking me. You made the first steps. You have made yourself known through creation. You've made yourself known through the Word, through your Son, through your Spirit, through brothers and sisters in Christ. And we want to glorify you and sing praises to you. You are worthy of so much more. Take this song from our hearts. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand and sing with me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.